with my whole heart. And again, I'm kind of, this is my philosophy in life. One of the philosophies, I guess, my dad drove home in me, other than like, you know, delayed obedience is disobedience. And you know, he wanted me to obey, but he wanted me to obey right away. And then he had this even weird thing that you had to be happy about it, right? You know, so take the trash out, man, like right now, and be grateful that you have arms, legs, and you're alive to take the trash out. Anyway, so that was one. And then another one was always leave it better than you found it. Maybe your parents drove that into your head. We would go down to Steinhatchee, Florida, as a teenager, even younger, to go fishing. My grandfather had a house down there and a boat, and so we would go down there for, you know, 3 or 4 days and things like that. But the last day we were always there, no fishing, no fun, just cleaning. All right, we would clean the house and we would clean the boat and we would rake the yard. And I was like, you know, the leaves were here when we got here. But that was his philosophy. We were going to leave it better than we found it. And so the last day was work. But anyway, that was that. And then another time, he just drove into my head, you know, don't do a half job. Right? You might as well go ahead and do it right the first time. All these kind of things, you know, and so forth. And, you know, if I was mowing the grass, he always pointed out not the billions of grass that I cut right. He would point out those 3 or 4 that I left sticking up. All right, because I wasn't straight or whatever, things like that, and so forth. So he, you know, you got to do it right the first time, and you don't have to repeat things like that. But you know, it's biblical. What's your hand find to do? Do it with thy might. Do it heartily as unto the Lord. And so it wasn't stuff that he was just trying to, you know, nitpick at. It's actually a biblical philosophy, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. The Bible says when you do something, do it with your whole heart. Don't do it half-heartedly. It's going to come back to bite you if you do it half-heartedly, but we ought to do it with our whole heart. And we'll look at a couple verses as far as introduction. You're at Psalm 9:1. It says this, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. So when we're praising God, it shouldn't be like, oh, praise God, half-heartedly, oh, well, you know, God might work. No, no. I will praise God with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. And of course, this one, tagged on a phrase, brag on the Lord. All right? This one might tell us to brag on the Lord at work. All right? They're going to brag about what stupidity they did and why they have a headache and you know, all the money that they're trying to make, things like this. So if they can brag on that and what they went and saw and what they drank or smoked or ate or did, if they're going to brag on that at work, why can't we brag on God at work? You know, obviously, I don't think you ought to take a portable pulpit and preach sermons and things like that. But if they can say, man, it was awesome, so was church. All right. We can brag on God and so forth. We could brag on God out in public. That's what I did today. The guy came up to me and I was looking at something to buy, and you know, he was like, hey, Aaron. And then of course he started using those choice words, and I was like, well, praise the Lord, I just moved here from Florida and I'm a pastor at Lighthouse Baptist Church. And, you know, God's good and things like that. So you can brag on God in public. Brag on God with lost loved ones. And then, you don't have to turn there, but I will read them to you. Psalm 111, verse 1 says this, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. So the first one I kind of tagged on us, brag on God at work, out in public, in our neighborhood, maybe with lost loved ones. This one, it says here that we ought to praise God with our whole heart in the assembly, at church, in the congregation. This helps encourage each other. You know, praise the Lord for prayer time and praise the Lord. But here lately, we've been hearing praise the Lord for answered prayer and praise the Lord for this. That's what we're doing. We ought to praise God for those things in the assembly, in the congregation. Brag on God with your whole heart at church. Another one, Psalm 119, verse 10. Psalm 119, verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. So I tag this one with, brag on God to God. It says here, I have sought thee. So I'm talking to you. And so again, you know, we can brag on God, you know, how great church was, and we had great fellowship. The sermon was awesome. Amen. All right. Just seeing if there was any comments there. But, you know, we had a great time. We got a great fellowship. The singing was awesome. The fellowship was awesome. And things like that. We can brag on God. at work, and then we can brag on God at church. You know, He answered this prayer. He worked out this situation. But I believe God likes to be bragged on to Himself. Brag on God to God. With your whole heart I have sought Thee. Let me not wander from Thy commandments. So talk to God. God, You've helped me. Thank You for bringing this to pass. Thank You for leading me this way. Thank You for giving me wisdom here. Psalm 119:34 says this, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep Thy law. I shall observe it with my whole heart." So here, I believe, I tag this one with, brag on God to yourself. Brag on God to yourself. I'm working on a sermon right now about that. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Job counseled himself. They sound like they're having a good time. All right. So sometimes we have to, you know, again, I don't think it's weird to talk to yourself. It might be weird to talk to yourself and then answer yourself and then talk to yourself again. That might be a little weird. But there's nothing wrong with talking to yourself. And that's what we see here. David said, give me understanding that I shall keep Thy law, and I will observe it with my whole heart. So brag on God to yourself. God will help you. God will help you with this situation. Then Psalm 119:58. Got a couple more. It says here, I entreat Thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to Thy word. So brag on God when things are good. Brag on God when things are good. We got two more, I'm sorry. 119:69 says this, "The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep Thy precepts with my whole heart." So this one I tagged on, brag on God when things are bad. It's kind of easy to brag on God when things are good. It's tough to brag on God when things are bad. Well, what did Job say? All right, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And so if you know, you can't do that half-heartedly. Job wasn't just flippantly saying these verses that we can quote. No, he was actually bragging on God. And so we see we can brag on God when things are good. We can brag on God when things are bad. Last one, Psalm 119:145. "I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep Thy statutes." So seven verses, and there's more of them, but the seven that we'll use in the introduction tonight we've read, that we see people doing things with their whole heart. You're going to feel, I guess, more satisfied if you do something with your whole heart. And all of us have done things half-heartedly or rushed. It was a rushed job, or I wish I don't even have to do this. So we weren't wholeheartedly doing that. The Bible indicates something like a half-baked cake. I liked baked cake. When it comes out of the oven and I walk in the door and it just came out of the oven, that heat and that smell from the kitchen, oh, it's like manna, right? I even like it without icing. That's when it's my favorite. When it's right out of the oven, like almost too hot, you're flipping it around in your mouth so it doesn't burn you, without icing, oh, it's great. But half-baked cake, and, you know, it's not all, you know, gelled together. It's kind of like runny and gooey and things like that. It doesn't taste good. If we do things half-heartedly, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be blessed. So according to these seven verses that we looked at, I have the first two talked about we ought to praise the Lord with our whole heart. The third and fourth one we read said that we should not wander, but we should get understanding. 5 and 7 said we ought to pray and ask God for His favor and the ability to keep His statutes. The sixth one was that we ought to go forward and wholeheartedly, no matter what the obstacle. So, wholehearted, not half-hearted. We ought to be full-time Christians, not half-time Christians. Like the fellow I was talking to today, I hate to keep bringing him up. But, you know, trash mouth, we started talking about God in church, and, oh, I go to this church, and this is my pastor, and this and this and this, you know. I think if he was trying to live a good Christian life wholeheartedly, he would have left this type of communication out of his mouth, all right, and things like that. So when you're wholehearted at something, you talk the same way at work and church. If you're wholehearted, you're going to give 110% here, as of here. Our youngest son, Brian, y'all have met him and heard him sing, things like that. And that was the way he was. Whatever he was doing, he was 110% at it. If he was doing something dumb and wrong, he was 110% at it. If he was doing something right and good, he was 110% at it. He was so like a spazoid when he was a kid. I would say, son, be still. And he would stand there, but his eyes would move. He could not be still. I'm like, I'm trying to put your pajamas on. You know, he's all doing this stuff and honking me on the nose and things like that. I'm like, hey, focus, be still. And those eyes would be like, I mean, he was just wide awake. And so they would tell us, when he goes to school, you're going to get referrals. You're going to have parent-teacher conferences. He's just going to be in trouble all the time. And we're like, no. Because whatever he's doing 110%. And so when he got to school, 110% focused, straight A's, no, didn't get in trouble, maybe one or two times when he's acting like his mom. And don't tell her I said that. But anyway, there was a few times. But 110% wholehearted at what he was trying to do. So we see the Bible says, don't be half-hearted, be wholehearted. Now, one other thing before we get to the main outline. Double-heartedness doesn't work either. All right? Double-heartedness doesn't work either. It's kind of another way of being half-hearted at something. Double-heartedness, I'll read you a couple of verses. 1 Chronicles 12:33 says this, of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war. So they were prepared, they knew how to use all the weapons and so forth, 50,000, which could keep rank. I mean, they obeyed, yes, sir, you know, sir, yes, sir. You know, captain, sergeant, whatever ranking it was, they could keep that rank. I mean, they were focused, so they were prepared for war. They knew how to use their instruments of war. There was 50,000 of them, and they could keep rank. And then the rest of the verse says this, and they were not of a double heart. In other words, they were all focused on the same thing. And again, any military battles out there, that's why the United States, obviously with God's blessing on them, but focused, you know, singleness of heart, one mind, this is us. Things like that. So we see in the Bible, double-heartedness doesn't work. Psalm 12:2 says this, they speak vanity, everyone, with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. You know, some people this way, they're double-tongued, they're double-hearted. In other words, to your face they would say this, behind your back they would say this. So again, we ought not be double-hearted. We ought to be of a single heart. One more verse before we get to the main outline. 2 Chronicles 25. There's enough of these. Let's go ahead and turn there. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles 25. And we'll look at several verses here. And we're going to see some examples of what half-heartedness does. Half-heartedness does. And so, again, there was a couple of verses where it seems like, oh, he's wholehearted. I mean, he's in this thing. But he doesn't dot every I, doesn't cross every T, and it comes back to bite him. And so it proves that he was half-hearted at what he was doing. And 2 Chronicles 25, verses 1 through 16. So Amaziah was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 20 and 9 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And it says here, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. So again, he kind of lined up a little bit, but he wasn't wholehearted. He was like, I'm gonna do right. You know, all these kings that did that which was right in their own eyes, and the mess that they brought onto the people of God. So I'm not gonna be that way. I'm gonna do what God says. I'm gonna you know, a man after God's own heart. But then it says here. Or that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. He was half-hearted. So it says, now it came to pass, when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants and killed the king, his father, but he slew not their children, and did as it was written in the law of the book of Moses, and where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. And so, of course, this was kind of like we've seen people like this. God told them to wipe the ground with everything. No spoils. And they came back. What's the slowing of the sheep? Well, I figure we could bring these sheep back and sacrifice them to the Lord. What did God say? All of them. And then what's this Babylonian garment? What's this wedge of gold? What's this? I said get rid of all of it. So half-hearted always brings back something to haunt you. So he was told to take them all out. But what happened? Well, the kid was going to... So more mischief was wrought in the camp of God's people from half-heartedness than anything else. So like we were preaching the other day about the heart... It's deceitful and desperately wicked, but if it was full of the Word of God, like Jeremiah, he couldn't even quit. His heart was so full of the Word of God. David, he hid the Word of God in his heart so he didn't sin. So these guys were wholehearted and trying to do right. Amaziah here, he half-heartedly went at it. I'm going to make everybody think that I'm doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. I'm not going all for it. So number one, in the way of outline, we see here half-heartedness is the weak spring in life that will prevent us from acting right firmly. Half-heartedness is the weak spring in life that will prevent us from acting right firmly. Of course, springs, there's springs on cars, there's springs on mattresses, there's springs, and that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to help it be level. Help it to be right. But if we're half-hearted, it's that weak spring. And verse 4 says here that he was that weak spring. He slew not the children. And so he got weak a little bit. Left the little things right. You know, not like God told him to do. So if we're a weak Christian, it's because we're half-hearted. Number 2, in verse 6 it says here, a half-hearted Christian or half-heartedness is that earthly gas that causes our heart to be inflated with worldly ambition. Half-heartedness is that earthly gas that causes our heart to be inflated with worldly ambition. Verse 6, it says here, he hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel and 100 talents of silver. So again, we see he didn't take everybody out like God told him to. So now he's trying to, these worldly ambitions, we're going to have the biggest army. We're going to have the best looking army and things like that. Ambition. So again, even half-hearted people can have ambition. But our ambition should be to please God in everything we do, say, act, all that. But he was just wanting to be prideful, make it look like that he had a great army. And that's what happened with David. Go number the troops. Why? Us and God is a majority. Why should we number them? So we see that this earthly gas. So if you are basically a hot air balloon Christian, beware of your half-heartedness. It's going to be a big fall. And so hot air balloon, if it runs out of that gas, it's going to fall. Number 3, half-heartedness is the link that gives the ungodly opportunity to couple themselves with the Lord's people. Half-heartedness is the link that gives ungodly an opportunity to couple themselves with. We've heard the weakest link. If you have a chain with a messed up link, that's where it's going to break. I don't know if you've ever been on a porch swing, and all of a sudden, poof, you're on the porch. And you look up there, and that piece of chain has moved. That was the weakest link, and so forth. So those links are there. So when we're half-hearted in what we do for the Lord, it allows there be a chink in the armor. It allows for worldliness there. And that's verse 7 says this, but there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. He was like, look, he's not blessing them. That's why they're in captivity. That's why they're not being blessed of God. And so forth. So the preacher came and told him this, and this is how they got linked up with the wrong crowd. So double-heartedness doesn't work, and single-heartedness should be our focus and on the Lord. So we see Amaziah should have not been associated with Israel at this time. Israel not was associated with God. So a weak Christian here will be a half-hearted Christian. Number four, half-heartedness is a flaw that hinders the divine power or the inflow of the divine power. Half-heartedness is a flaw that hinders the inflow of divine power. Verse 9 says here, Amaziah said unto the man of God. So obviously we see the preacher came to him, told him what God said. And here's Amaziah said back to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. So again, his half-heartedness had his focus in the wrong place. I've got this and I've got this. And so half-heartedness, if we're saying, okay, I'm a Christian and I kind of want God's will in my life. Okay, that's not going to work. if I'm a Christian, I want to please God in everything, and I want God's perfect will. I want His favor. I want His blessing. I'm totally in. So we see he's arguing here with the preacher and saying, well, if I do it that way, what in the world? And that's what the devil will tell you. If you go in wholehearted and serve God, you're not going to make it. You're going to starve. You're not going to be successful. You're going to be made fun of. You're going to be linked in with that. And that's what the devil will just keep on telling you. But if we go in wholehearted, obviously we'll have God's favor, we'll have God's blessing. And the preacher was telling him, what you have here, and this is what half-heartedness has brought. If you'll go wholehearted and put God first, like the Bible tells you to do, seek ye first, and He wants preeminence in all things. If you'll do that, God will give you much more than this. And so we see that if we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to come into us, if we're quenching the Holy Spirit, that's because we're being a half-hearted Christian. Number five, half-heartedness is like a jaded horse, which needs a great deal of spur and whip to make it go. Half-heartedness is like a jaded horse, which needs a great deal of spur and a whip to make it go. Some horses are like that. The horse that I grew up when I had, he didn't need a spur. He didn't need a whip. All he needed was that little click, all right? And you kind of lean forward, and that's all he needed. Oh, he was wide open. Now, I have ridden some. You can kick, spur them, spank them, and they're just like, okay? So, why? They were half-hearted. They didn't full heart. And so, again, when we're going through our Christian life, if we're going through half-hearted, we're going to need spurred. And we're going to meet, everybody's going to have to call us and encourage us. And, hey, you better do this, and you need to come to this and participate in this. But if we're wholehearted, nobody's got to call us. Nobody's got to remind us. Why? Because we're going to be at everything. We're going to be full bore, wide open at everything. We're not going to need spurred and whipped and encouraged, things like that. Verses 7 through 9 says, but there came that man. He was preaching to him. And verse 8 says, but if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath the power to help and to cast down. So look, Amaziah, you need to go full bore, wholehearted. Why? Because God can pick you up or He can put you down. Verse 9, and Amaziah said unto the man of God, but what shall we do with these 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, and the Lord is able to give you much more than this. He could do it. Verse 10, and Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army was with him in Ephraim, and to go home again. Wherefore, his anger was kindled against Judah, and they turned home in great anger. And so, when we're half-hearted, it says here he did not act like he should before the Lord, and he needed spurred by the prophet's word to urge him to be obedient. So, if we're half-hearted Christians, we're going to be uninspired, half-hearted. Number six, half-heartedness is like a sparrow which is caught in a trap. Half-heartedness is like a sparrow which is caught in a trap. Verse 14 says, now it came to pass after Amaziah was come to the slaughter, or from the slaughter of the Edomites, and he brought the gods, small g, to the children of Seir, and it set them down before his gods, and bowed down himself before them, and turned incense unto them. And so again, we see here, what did this half-heartedness do to him? At first, I'm going to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. I'm letting y'all know. And we're going to battle, and we're going to battle, and we're going to battle. But he went half-hearted at it. He went out there, didn't kill them all, but just killed a few. And then when he got back, not only did he keep the children alive, he brought their gods and started worshiping them. Why? Because he wasn't wholehearted. He was only half-hearted. So when we're not wholehearted, we see here that things can slip in. Like that sparrow that's caught in the trap. We talked about Solomon. He let those women change his heart. Why? Because he wasn't wholehearted, trying to please God. Half-heartedness is a fault, and we should not allow it to be in there. So Amaziah was caught in idolatry, and the people whom that he was supposed to conquer. And so if you're caught in a trap, it's because you're living half-heartedly. Number seven, half-heartedness is the conductor that brings the punishment of God. Half-heartedness is the conductor that brings the punishment of God. So we see here in verse 15, wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, why hast thou sought after the God, small g, of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? He was like, look here. You know, you were able to conquer them. And they're praying to those idols, and they're praying to those statues. Those idols and those statues didn't prevent you from conquering them and taking them captive. So why would you want to pray to them? And so we see the punishment of the Lord was on him, and the Lord was angered against him. So half-heartedness, again, when I would do something half-heartedly, it would anger my Father. When I do something as a Christian half-heartedly, I'm sure it angers my Heavenly Father. It says right there, the Lord was angered. He was upset. Amaziah, you said you were going to do what was right in mine eyes. And look what you've done. You've brought these small idols back, and you're worshiping them. And it doesn't even make sense. They weren't ever to deliver the ones you took in captivity. What are you thinking? Half-heartedly allows this to happen. Let's go to one other place in the Bible as far as we will bring it down to the conclusion. Let's go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 5 through 11. I'll read them to you. It says here, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. So again, we see here Amaziah was getting in trouble. God came to him and said, Amaziah, what are you thinking? You're praying to a statue and an idol that couldn't even deliver the ones you just took captivity. So he was getting on to him. And just like we've seen other men in the Bible where God got onto them, or I guess brought it to their attention. You know, like Peter, you're going to deny me thrice. He did. And he went back fishing. The Bible says he went back cursing. He went back fishing unclothed and things like that. He went back to his old ways. But he got right. And he preached to Antioch. And thousands got saved and things like that. So David, he did wrong. And he cried on his bed, and he repented and sought God and said, God, I still want to be that man after your own heart. And he repented. So what we see is if we get caught in a situation and we're realizing, look, I didn't do that wholeheartedly. Maybe it's even husband and wife. I'm sorry, I wasn't wholeheartedly being the right kind of mate. Or maybe it's father to the child. Look, I've had to apologize to my kids before. I handled that wrong. Maybe I wasn't wholeheartedly trying to be what I needed to be. So when it's pointed out, like the man of God came to him and said, look, you're not doing this right. You're not wholehearted. Right there it says you didn't have a perfect heart. So when we get, I guess, reprimanded or something brought to our attention, that's when we ought to deal with it. Because it says in verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So if God didn't love you, he would not bring, I guess, that conviction to you, or that chastening to you, and scourge every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you, as with sons. So if he's convicting us, or he's allowing something to happen in our life to maybe help us to change some things, he's doing it because he loves you. That's what my dad would tell me. I'm spanking you because I loved you. My dad really loved me. He loved me a lot. So anyway, he would say stuff like, "This hurts me more than it hurts you." And I don't know if I could believe that one. But anyway, now that I was a dad, I understood. But it says here, "For what son whom he hath the father chasteneth him not?" So if you're saved and you do something wrong and conviction doesn't come, but it says if you're saved and conviction comes, it's God trying to chastise you. But verse 8 says here, "But if ye be without chastening, wherever are you partakers? Are you not bastards? Ye are bastards and not sons." So if a person can sin and nothing happens, they need to check. Because if you're saved and you sin, God will convict you. And then it says here, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of the flesh who correcteth us, and we have given them reverence." "Yes, sir, Dad, I won't do that again. Just stop spanking me." "Yes, sir, Dad, I will do that if you'll just let me off restriction," and so forth. "Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of the spirits and live? For they verily of a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he of our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." And so he goes on to say in verse 11, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous." And if we can not get a spanking, we got away with it, we're thinking, "Oh man, we got away with it. That brings us joy." "But grievous nevertheless afterwards, it yieldeth up peaceful fruit of for righteousness unto them which exercise thereby." So if we half-heartedly do something and we don't get caught and we don't get in trouble, we think, "Oh, we've made it." But the person that did it wholeheartedly and did it right, we see how God blesses them and uses them, and we're like, "I wish I'd have done it that way." So we see in the Bible, half-heartedness never works out. Wholeheartedness works out. In conclusion, we'll look at a couple of, I'll just read them to you. 1 Corinthians 11:30 says this, "For this cause..." Okay, for what cause? Doing something half-heartedly. Doing something that's against the Bible. Doing something against what God wants us to do. "For this cause, many are weak and sickly. And among you, and many sleep." It doesn't mean talking like, that type of sleep. It means dead. So in other words, God, when people go through life and they're half-hearted, they're not going to be strong. They're going to be weak. They're not going to be blessed. They're going to be sickly. And if they stiffen that neck, harden that heart, and resist, they could be turned over to the destruction of the flesh and even die. So when we're faced with that, we ought to wholeheartedly say, "You're right, God. I'm sorry." And repent. And repent means turn from. Seek God's face, then He will hear from heaven, and then He'll bless. So, we see here, how do we fix it then? If I'm going through life half-heartedly, if I'm handling this situation in my life half-heartedly, how do I fix it? Here's two verses for you. James 4:8, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." So, wholeheartedly draw to God, and He'll draw to you. Then it says here, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." So double-hearted, double-minded doesn't work. But draw nigh to God, cleanse your hands, and He will draw nigh to you. Here's another one, Jeremiah 24:7. Jeremiah 24:7. It says here, "And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return." So again, when God convicts us, when God corrects us, we return unto God. And then it says here, "with their whole heart." So how do we fix it? Wholeheartedly ask God to forgive you. Wholeheartedly stop what you were doing. Wholeheartedly start doing the right thing. So Amaziah, he could have started it right there. Or he could have ended that, I guess, trouble with God, trouble with God's man. In the beginning, he's like, "All right, I'm going to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord," but not with a perfect heart. He half-heartedly did it. He went at it like ho-hum. "Well, whatever happens, happens." Again, I refuse to live like that. You know, well, you just live, you die, that's it. No, that's not it either. And so, well, it is what it is. It doesn't have to be. You know, the Bible says right here, you can seek God with your whole heart, and He says He'll give you a heart to know Him. And you'll be His people, and He'll be your God if you'll seek Him with your whole heart. So several places in the Bible where we're commanded to seek God with our whole heart. And again, you know, I studied this out for myself because, you know, I would just keep messing up. You know, why am I messing up in this area? Because you're kind of half-heartedly going after it. Again, a person that's, you know, like a guy I talked to today that does all the printing for us, he was telling me that he was a recovering drug addict. And, you know, again, you can't be a recovering drug addict if you just go half-heartedly at it. You know, what he did, he wholeheartedly stopped, but then he wholeheartedly became a, I guess, instructor or helper. He goes, he's got seven people that he's helping, he's sponsoring them. And he hadn't been on drugs in years. But what happened? He wholeheartedly went into it. He said, I can pick it up, I can leave it, I can stop when I want to. Sin grabs a hold of you. And so when we're faced with it, we got to wholeheartedly go the opposite way. So hopefully that'll help you in anything you do. Wholeheartedly be a good Christian. Wholeheartedly be a good mate. Wholeheartedly be a good parent. Wholeheartedly be a good friend. Again, I've had those half-hearted friends. You know, you call them and say, hey, can you help me? Well, I got this thing, and I can maybe next week. But I've got some of those friends, you call them, it really doesn't matter what they got. If you need their help, they're coming. Why? Because they're wholeheartedly your friend. And so there's employees like that. You know, again, we got to be careful. You know, God's will is more important than you know, our careers and things like that. But when you're at work, wholeheartedly be at work. Christians ought to be the best employees at the place. And do whatever we can. So hopefully that'll help you wholeheartedly. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day, and thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, lots of verses in the Bible talks about half-hearted, wholehearted, double-hearted. And Lord, I ask you to help us, Lord, to live our life wholeheartedly, trying to please you. Why? Because one day we're going to give an account for that. And Lord, I want to stand before you and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So help me, help these that are hearing me tonight to be wholehearted Christians. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.